to be self-disciplined and alert to Satan's dangerous presence in the world. Satan's always looking for weakness, and he's always ready to attack, just like a hungry lion. You see, lions prey on the most vulnerable animals in the herd. Those who are weak or careless are the ones that they go after. They also like to attack from behind if they can, to seize the advantage of surprise. So we need to stay alert to the very real threat of spiritual attack, and to resist the devil by keeping up our guard. Now, the devil never rests. And I got to think right now this morning, the devil's not smiling, he's frowning. Because we're here. We've gathered, we were to worship his arch enemy, the Lord. But what about the ones that chose not to be here? Do they have a chink in their armor? I don't know. But I know there are people out that do. And I know that the devil is taking advantage of it. He waits. He lures in the background, just waiting for that weakness to appear. And he'll stomp on it like a lion on a lamb. And one of them is desire and self-discipline. Satan knows our desires. And he does everything he can to have us achieve these desires if they serve his purpose. If our desire is to love God and worship him and accept him as our personal Savior, that is not a good day for Satan. That is not a chink in our armor. That is another layer to our armor. And when we couple that with self-discipline, he is just not having a good day. We hear more these days about ransomware attack, in which a malicious virus can enter a computer network through just one careless act of opening a suspicious email, which then allows the criminals to enter your system and your software and to seize control of all of your data and then command millions of dollars for them to release your data back to you. Who's that remind you of? That's exactly how Satan operates. He is going to seize your data. And he is going to lock it up and use it for his benefit unless we exercise desire and self-discipline. These attacks have become huge concerns, and they cause massive destruction and thousands of dollars just because one person careless lapse in judgment, and that's all it takes. One moment of a lack of self-discipline is all it will take for Satan to pounce right on your activity and your life. He doesn't wait to see if you're going to exercise a lack of self-discipline the second time. He's going to take advantage of it when he can, as soon as he can, and with every bit of his power. You see, the same thing can happen spiritually. How many people, for instance, have become ensnared by internet pornography? Being yielding to temptation in a weak moment. Satan prowls the internet with purely malicious intent. Beware of those weak moments that can ruin your life and hurt those you love. In the process of preparing this message, I've come to the realization that Satan is just standing there waiting for me to check the news. Because the news is full of what Satan wants to happen. That's amazing to me. It's amazing how he operates, how tricky he is. By the way, my wife is smarter than I am. She recognized this, and she's on a news hiatus right now. Our routine usually is we get up in the morning, have breakfast, cup of coffee, turn on the news, see what's going on overnight. Well, I didn't have time because I had a lot of things I had to get done this morning. But I did realize that Rainey wasn't watching the news this morning. You know what she was watching? Charles Stanley. Is that awesome or what? She has more self-discipline than I do. It's amazing. Verse 9, it says, resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Satan doesn't just zero in on you or you or you. Right now he's looking at this whole sanctuary. Which one of these fools can I attack as soon as they leave here? Or which one of these can I just make sleepy and not listen to the word of God? That's how he operates. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy verse 2, chapter 2, verse 22, flee youthful lust. Excuse me. Get off the computer. Get off our cell phones. Change the channel. Or leave the scene. Very often, the best response is to leave, just like Joseph was escaping from Potiphar's wife. Know your weaknesses and do whatever you have to do to avoid them. Because as we remain alert to Satan's presence and see his temptations, we will become stronger for the next attack. If we know how Satan operates, and I think we do, and if we exercise self-discipline, we will recognize when Satan is throwing that temptation in front of us. And with acting appropriately, we will overcome that temptation. And because of that, the next time Satan tempts us, and he will, he doesn't give up just one time, but our strength will be greater. And greater, and greater, and greater. And I like to think that sooner or later, Satan's going to give up on us. And even if he doesn't, sooner or later, he's going to pay the price and we're going to receive our reward. I can't wait for that day to happen. What a glorious that day that will be, because that'll be the worst day of Satan's life and the best day of ours. There is no better reward. Our passage continues with the promise. In verse 10 it reads, "The God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." You see, God honors our commitment to stand our ground. And he restores and strengthens us as those trials pass by. It is through the grace of God that we can have the strength that he gives us to achieve self-discipline. I think all of us can, if we stop and think about it, admit that we have failed with self-discipline lots of times, more than we care to admit. But I think we also can look back and realize that the time that we achieved self-discipline, it was not on our own. It was through the grace of God and the strength that he gives us. But let's also remember that God is the God of all grace. There is grace throughout the Christian life, from beginning to end. Meaning that even if we fail, his love and mercy remains. So if we are lacking self-discipline and realize it, we do not have to just bow into it and say, "Well, I failed. I guess there's no sense to keep trying." It couldn't be farther from the truth. God expects us to try. He also expects us to fail. But he expects us to come to him and lean on his grace for the next time around. And the next time, and the next time. Lots of our life experiences consist of learning from our mistakes. We grow from reflecting on our experience, that memory of our failures and pains associated with them. And learning is a gift. Even when pain is your teacher. But of course, it's far better not to have to learn everything the hard way. Self-discipline and maintaining healthy boundaries keeps us from having to repeat those painful lessons. My dad had a favorite saying when he was in business, and an employee did something wrong, regardless of how severe the consequences were. He would take time to tell this employee that, "You know something? Failure is what it is. But if we learn from it, we won't make the same mistake again." And that was his attitude. And I like to think that he achieved or got that attitude from following God. Because that's exactly God's attitude. If we learn from it, that's what he wants us to do. We all have our own Achilles heels, our own impatience to resist. It might be a weight problem or trouble controlling our tongue or in our thought life. Some issues are out in the open while others are between us and God. But we all have them. And the answer is always the same: self-discipline and keeping clear boundaries. Peter concluded by writing, "To God be the power forever and ever. Amen." Because it's always and only God's power at work in us that allows us to live in the Spirit. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So this isn't simply a matter of white-knuckling it within our own willpower. White knuckles never accomplished anything. Our own willpower in and of itself never accomplished anything. But of living in a close, dependent relationship with God is when we accomplish these things. When our desires are planted where they're supposed to be. When our self-discipline is exercised when it's appropriate. God provides his power through the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all honor and glory forever. And all of God's people said,